Well, my name is Ricky Jantgard, and I am not an expert on prayer. I just, you know, practice it myself. And I've been talking about prayer this week, and we've been sharing a few other ideas. On Monday, I talked just a little bit about some kind of experiences that I've had that have helped me, I guess, have a little more faith in the power, just the power of prayer. I think it's something that we often sell short. It's a little bit like the people who go to the church and pray for rain, but nobody brings an umbrella. I mean, almost the sense that we go through the form and don't actually believe that it will have results that we will be happy about. And I titled it that day, Goodbye Crumbs, Hello Banquet, because the image that came to my mind after, you know, it was a little bit like a lot of this stuff mulling through my head, and all of a sudden realized, hey, in any sales training program, all kinds of things in the secular world, you hear about the power of positive thinking, and the power that comes with affirming, and they never use the word prayer. But we've had this available to us for, you know, thousands of years, and often sell the power short. The image that came to my mind was of a table set in front of a window, and there were just crumbs on it. And then if you open the window, it turned out to be a door, and there was a huge banquet. And we were only satisfied with the crumbs. There is so much more to the power of prayer than most of us in the traditional church have been willing to believe. It is, in lots of ways, our rational minds as well. You know, how can that be? And I'll go through the forms, and of course I'll pray in the morning, and I say the Lord's Prayer, and I pray before dinner, but almost without a sense that it's going to have an effect. And I guess I'm saying that I believe it has a real effect, and that there is a power that is made available to us all the way through the New Testament. Christ speaks to that, and often with the phrase, you know, if you pray believing, like if you pray and you just go through the forms, nothing happens. But if you pray believing, you know, these things will be granted unto you. On Tuesday, I talked about two ideas. One, that it's all right to ask throughout the New Testament. Again, Jesus says, ask. You know, seek, knock, and these things will be given unto you. Doors will be opened. You will get what you ask for. And it comes right after, in Matthew, it comes right after the disciples have said, teach us to pray. And he gives the words of the Lord's Prayer, and then immediately goes into a story about the neighbor who comes pounding on the door at night and says, hey, let me have some bread. I've got people who've come and I need it. The neighbor says, I'm in bed, don't bother me. But because the one who is asking asks continually, finally the neighbor says, okay, I'm not going to give it to you because you're a good guy. I'm giving it to you. Shut you up. I give it, you know, here it is. There's the story of the woman who importunes the judge for justice over again. And finally the judge provides justice for her. And these are incidents, they are stories that were illustrated when people ask Jesus, how do we pray? And so part of what it is that, you know, if you pray believing, hey, it's okay to ask. The other thing that I talked about on that day was the importance of being real about your conversations in prayer. I came out of a Presbyterian church, moved into the Lutheran church, and as those who have been here before have heard the story, was zapped shortly after I got into the Lutheran church because something or another, I didn't say it right. I remember you've been in the Presbyterian church too for a while. It had nothing to do with the Presbyterian said it wrong, but I said it wrong, and some young seminary student who I thought was the local authority on Lutheranism, you know, zapped me with it. I didn't, you know, after that I really was afraid to pray, to speak out in church, to say what it was that was going on, and I just went through the proper forms. You know, if it was printed down, then I knew that was the right thing. But in the meantime, in terms of my own relationship with God, which He has said we can have, we can converse with Him in prayer, that was minimized. And so part of what prayer for me, personal prayer, not corporate prayer, not liturgical prayer, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about personal prayer as a personal conversation where you get right, not dealing with what ought I to say, what, how ought I to pray, as though there is some rubric or form you must go through, but instead to pray out of a sense of sharing with God in the same way you would share with a very best friend, somebody that you really trusted, who would overlook your disorganization, inarticulation, foolishness, and all that, but would see through to the real meaning of what it was you want and help you to see yourself. It's what we call the small T truth, not the capital T truth. That's the ultimate truth that none of us will ever know completely. We may each find a piece of it. So my encouragement was to talk in prayer, dealing with what's going on. And I had some sheets here that some of you have them already, but here you can take another one and just read it now and then give them back to you if you have one at home. These are some of the verses that deal with some of those particular issues. Like in Psalms, it's Psalm 139, Lord, you have examined me and you know me, you know everything I do from far away, you understand all my thoughts. And through three quarters of Psalm 139, David is talking about how God already knows him. And so if you're dealing with somebody who already knows the story, then it doesn't behoove you to try to make it prettier. You just tell the truth. And it's the same way, again, in talking to a best friend. I have some friends that I've known ever since college. We don't see them very much anymore because they live back in the Midwest. And some of them have become extremely successful. You know, I mentioned one yesterday who has given lectures to the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He's highly respected in his field and so forth. I remember him when he was a scrawny 16 or 17-year-old kid, and you know, all the pain that he was going through while he was going through college, and some of the tricks he pulled. You know, there is no way that I look upon him and see all this power and so forth. I see an old friend, and I know his foibles, and I still love him. You know, but it doesn't, if he can't put on the dog for me, he can't put on a show. I know him too well underneath. You have friends like that, I'm sure. And it's the same way. God already knows you. So you might just as well fess up and deal with what's really going on. These are, as I said, I'm not going to go through them because I talked about them earlier this week. But some verses that have been helpful to me in affirming some of this idea that what I need to do in terms of prayer is deal with all the little junky stuff that bothers me, and to be able to share that, not always the elevated thoughts that I think I ought to pray about, but what's really going on, the small T truth. And the thesis is, the theme of it is that truth communicates, non-truth does not. So you try to deal with just the grand thoughts, it does not really communicate. It's the nitty-gritty that gets through. There's two other verses that aren't on this sheet, and I think that they're important. One is Mark 11:24. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. That's pretty direct. The power comes in the believing that you have received it. And the other one is Romans 8:26-27. It kind of speaks to those who say, well, I can't ask for anything because, you know, that's pretty selfish. You know, some of the things that I want are pretty selfish. And in Romans 8:26-27, the verse is, in the same way, the Spirit also comes to help us, weak that we are, for we do not know how his... Sorry, I have to put the glasses on. For we do not know how we ought to pray. The Spirit himself pleads with God for us. In groans that words cannot express. And God, who sees into the hearts of men and women, knows what the thought of the Spirit is. For the Spirit pleads with God on behalf of his people and in accordance with his will. Kind of says, deal with what's real for you. Ask for what it is that you want, and the Spirit will translate that in accordance with his will. The other thing that I think is really very important in terms of prayer, yesterday we talked about forgiveness and how the stance of unforgiveness hurts us. I mean, it's like the, again, in the Lord's Prayer when it says, you know, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who, or forgive us our trespasses as those who trespass against us. And then it goes on to say, for if you forgive others, you will be forgiven. If you do not forgive others, you will not be forgiven. And it's not the, you know, listen, it's not a threat. It's just an is. If you stick your finger in the fire, you will be burned. If you do not stick your finger in the fire, you will not be burned. I mean, it's a natural law. It is not a sense of God will zap you. And also, in terms of a situation where you are finding it difficult to forgive, we did a little prayer fantasy of bringing Christ into it and trying to see what it is that we would want that other person to do to make up. Hey, are we holding on to this because this grudge because it's doing something for us? And if it is, what is it doing for us? What is it that we can learn out of this situation? Is it, in that sense, are we using the other person to kind of feed something that's going on for us that may not be that beneficial? Agnes Sanford, in her book, The Healing Power of the Bible, has something, and I haven't dealt a lot with material in here, but she says something. If we can look at the very thing that plagued us and believe that it can be turned into a source of healing, then it will be a tool of power, a stepping stone instead of a stumbling block. And as always, it's, you know, what's our perspective on it? Another thing that I think is really important in terms of prayer, and that's, now we have done the catch-up to get to today, is the celebrating of the response, the answers to prayer. So often we pray, often in times of anxiety, when we're under stress, and then never go back to see how the prayer has been answered. Sometimes we've prayed for a healing for a child or something, and maybe the child has not been healed, or a relative or a friend, and then we start saying, no, God doesn't answer prayers. And we remember that, but we don't remember all the many prayers that have been answered, and have been answered in maybe ways different than we had programmed it, but still have answered the basic need that we have spoken to in our prayer. And so one of the things that I believe, a friend of mine and I started a prayer group at our church about 4 years ago, and we meet Wednesday mornings at a local restaurant, 7:30 in the morning before we all go off to work, or a couple of them go back home. And one of the things we do is celebrate the answers to prayer, as well as, you know, pray for one another, pray for people in the church, and deal with our own, where we are ourselves. It's been a very good sharing group, but it has been exciting to realize how prayers have been answered. One woman who wanted to write. She had been a journalism major in college, and she children are pretty much raised, and in fact they're all out of the house now. And she wanted to write, and this has been kind of, you know, she was praying that God would be with her as she anticipated doing some writing and so forth, but never seemed to feel that this was coming together for her. In the meantime, she was working for Lutheran Family Service, helping put together a program that they had. Actually, it was a program that Dale was working with. And she was doing some writing for that, dealing with what, you know, it was kind of programmed, but she was writing the kinds of things that she wanted to write. But because it wasn't coming out of her little typewriter at home, in her free time, she forgot. It just, what she had to, it was almost like a zap. She thought, I am writing. I am doing the kind of writing I wanted to do, but I was looking at it as work. And so part of out of the celebration and talking about answers to prayer, she said, it suddenly has dawned on me that I am doing the kind of writing I wanted to do, but I haven't appreciated that that's what I was doing. I mentioned the other day that we have one son that we have prayed out of high school and prayed into college, and because there was no way a direct approach was going to work. No matter how much counseling both my husband and I, you know, and experience we've had, the direct approach was bound to be unsuccessful. He was more resistant than we were persistent, I guess. But he has certainly been a subject of my prayers many times. I hurt and I pain for him. I just see him setting himself up for a lot of pain in his life. But you know, our prayer group has prayed for him. Dale and I have prayed for him at home, and I'm pleased to say that he did finish high school. None of his friends did. They dropped out. He did go on to college. Every year, it's will he go on the next year? But Marge Wold's comments this morning in her talk about chaos trusted will bring a dancing star, and I thought, it's a good thing I'm not home, because he's in chaos right back there, and hopefully when I get home there will be some dancing going on. Do any of you have any examples of times when you have prayed for something that you have perhaps fairly recently, where prayer has been answered in a kind of a strange or unique way, or even more direct way? About 3 years ago, two and a half years ago, our next door neighbor decided to put her house up for sale. And we had known this house for, well, the whole time we'd lived in Portland, and really had liked it. And it was now, with two of our boys away at college most of the time, it was the right size. There was room for them when they came home, but they, you know, there wasn't a room for each one. And we could see that as the boys were leaving, it was not going to be very long before we did not need a six-bedroom, three-bath, you know, family room, rec room, the whole shebang, 3,500 square feet. This house went up for sale, and it was 10 days before Dale and I were scheduled to make a 7-week trip around the world. We were going to India and going one way and coming back the other. And we thought about it, and then we put it out of our mind. That was not a good idea. And I went away for a weekend retreat, and I came back, and Dale had been home that time, and I said, done a lot of praying about that house deal. And he said, yeah. And I said, I think I would like to make an offer. And he said, well, I've been doing a lot of praying about it too. I talked to Ron, his brother, and he said, I think I would like to make an offer. Thank heavens we both had come to the same conclusion, because we did make the offer. It was accepted. We left for India. When we came back 7 weeks later, our house was still on the market, and it was for another 6 months. Yeah. So for 6 months, by the time that the transaction closed, we had like 4 months of triple payments. We could sell some of our, some of the investments. I knew we could do that, but I also thought of that in terms of, you know, old age security, college funds, all this sort of stuff. But somehow or another, every month, it was time to make those payments, there was money there. And the most striking way out way that money came was when an insurance company called me that when I'd let my policy lapse about a year and a half before for a variety of fairly reasonable reasons. And they said they were calling from the East, and had I ever received a dividend on this policy that I'd had for 20 and some years? And I said, no. Said, okay, we're going to send you a form. It was a year and a half since I'd made a payment on a premium, and I don't even know yet why they contacted me. And anyway, I filled out their forms. They sent me the dividends, And also, with by paying this much money, I would be able to be reinstated, so that policy's in force again. I've never let any other insurance policy lapse. I don't know if that ever happens for other policies, but it was just, how is this happening? But it was always there. And thank heavens, as I said, we had both done some praying about this and both had decided to buy that house, because it would have been a jolt. I'm sure we would have been at each other's throats. It was all your idea. Look at what's happening to our financial situation, all this sort of stuff. But anyway, we really did feel that this was an answer to prayer. We had prayed about it, and it seemed to make, it seemed to be the appropriate thing to do.
I was just recalling, speaking of money, about 2 weeks before we were supposed to come up here to Holden Village, and I got a call from the person who was coordinating this whole group coming up, and she informed me that I needed to pay another $100, and I had no idea that I had any more payments coming here, and I was literally strapped for money. I had no. In fact, at that point, I decided that I was going to have to forego Holden Village this year. And I prayed about it that night and suddenly realized that I had done some extra work this summer. And it was there, which enabled me to come. And I'm very grateful. But it was, I hadn't even thought about it. But when I prayed, and then in the morning, I remembered. And I had this little egg basket.
Yeah. Did you ever hear the story about the atheist who was lost in the woods? And he was telling this, he was telling people about it. He said, oh, it's terrible. I was lost. I didn't know what to do. And he said, I tried everything. I followed the river and ended up in the wrong place. And I did all the things you're supposed to do in the wilderness, and nothing worked. So I thought, oh, what do I have to lose? And I prayed about it. And everybody leaned forward and said, did it work? He said, no, an Indian came by then and showed me the way out. Just your comment, all of a sudden it was there. For me, all of a sudden it was there. Just a new awareness or a remembrance, a thought, an object. And so often we, just like that atheist, don't celebrate the answer. We don't appreciate that the form that it's come is the answer. So I guess, what I like to do each week is to celebrate the answers to prayer. And it's easy to do up at Holden. We have a little bit more time. Unless we have the amount of dishes we had this noon. I took away some of my time today. Not the dishes, the pots and pans were horrendous today. Because are we going to have a good feed tonight? It's going to be good food tonight. So the other thing that I have a little sheet here about affirmations. I don't know if any of you have ever worked with these, but they are, as a Christian, these are, this friend of mine and I have taught lots of these kinds of sessions in our church, and her son made this sheet up for us. It's a little bit better than looking at a straight list. Talking of affirmations, to affirm means to make firm. An affirmation is a positive thought that you consciously choose to focus upon to produce a desired result. It can be thought of as a prayer and also as a claiming of God's promises to hear and answer our prayers. And for example, you could say, I enjoy my present weight of whatever it is. And if, less than, if you want to lose weight, then you start enjoying your weight at a little less than you are now. I have a wonderful job with friendly coworkers and good pay. These are just kind of examples, affirming what it is that you want in your life. And said in in the present tense, as if you already have what it is you're asking for. In that sense, we're dealing with the comment, pray, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it. Not that it's just coming, but that you've already received it in some form, and it will be yours. Phrase them in the positive sense. Don't ask for what ask for what you do want and not for what you don't want. That's sometimes a clarifying thought right there in terms of, hey, what, I'm so used to saying what I don't want. Well, what do I want to replace what I don't want? And then start emphasizing what you do want. Keep them short and simple. Physical things you ask for are symbols of how you'd like to feel, usually. If you ask for money, then you ask for the feeling of abundance as well. You often don't need as much money if you have the feeling of abundance. And some people who spend money like it's going out of style have the feeling that they don't have any. So that's a lot of their super spending and their lack of concern. They are very concerned with it. If you want to lose weight, ask to feel comfortable with your body. Revise, change, and switch affirmations as needed, but give them each a good try first. Say if you do this for 3 weeks, morning, noon, and night, you will be amazed. Again, you will have opportunities to give thanks for these things coming into your life. Visualize what you are affirming so you will not just say it, but see it too. What is it going to look like? What's it going to sound like? You want your, I was over in the reading room for a little while and somebody was practicing on the piano, and somebody, probably Lizette, she's new in the village now, she has a lovely voice, sat next to her in choir and leaned on her soprano last night. But they were playing, somebody was playing the piano and she was singing a modern song. I thought, oh, I like that. And her voice is just so lovely. I am not going to try to affirm my voice. But somebody might. And if that's what you want, then listen for it in your ear. What is it going to sound like? And thank God as if you've already gotten what you asked for. There's a negative word hit list over there about things to avoid in your affirmations. Impossible. Can't. Try. Limitations. If only. Ought to, should, doubt, and or any words of evaluation or judgment for you or for other people. But I think if you read over this and if you have any questions, ask them now or ask them later. But he has ways to use affirmations, say them to yourself silently or aloud. You know, put them on a card, stick them on your mirror or your refrigerator. What do people do before they had refrigerators? In magnets, I don't know. But at one workshop, we had people just clipping newspaper pictures of that which they wanted in their life. And then, working, using their prayer in terms of this. But they could take the picture home, this collage of pictures home, and stick it on the refrigerator or out in the shop or wherever. And several people that I met later on said, it's just amazing. I didn't realize it because I had what I wanted long before that I realized that I had what I had wanted. In the same way that my friend who had wanted to write did not appreciate that she was already doing what she wanted to do, because it had come in a different form. Any questions about this?
Sort of goes along with what we were talking about the other day about using descriptive, active, positive language about yourself rather than negative, judgmental language, which tears yourself down.
That's right, because you just keep pushing yourself down with that. And the whole promise in the New Testament is the positive. Greater things than I do will you do, said Christ. How can we believe that we can do greater things than he did if we keep saying, you can't do this, you're not any good, you're all these other things. We cannot do them on our own, but through the power of Christ we can do that, through the power of God working in Christ.
I like Norman Vincent Peale's book, The Power of Positive Thinking. That has a lot of good things.
Certainly does. Mm-hmm. It does. Because what we do when we think in that way is to just open up the possibilities. You know, Robert Schuller talks about possibility thinking. There are some dangers in that, I guess. I see so many more positives about that kind of thinking. Because it has the necessity is to realize that it's not my power. It's God's power working in me, you know, nourishing me that I may do some other things. I used to say, I used to pray that I could be a channel of God's love, and had this image of it kind of zipping through me. And I suddenly realized if I let it zip through me, then I didn't get any of the nourishment. So, my prayer changed to let me appreciate it and enjoy it, and then let it move on through. And so that I'm still a channel, but kind of not greased skids on the way out, receiving none of the benefit of it. Because I believe that He wants to give to me as well as to others. And what He gives to you and you pass on to me, I can also give, I receive and I can pass it on to you, so we have a tremendous amount of exchange. Any other comments about this, ways to use the affirmations or what they have to say? Also, if your affirmations don't seem to have an effect, how to look at them from another perspective. And one of the important things is you don't have to consciously try to make them happen. Sometimes as you pray, afterwards write some of these things down. If you're going to pray for some friends, or after church, one of the churches that we sometimes attend has, it's a little bit like Walt Bowman was talking last week. The pastor will say, are there any petitions from the congregation? People will raise hands. That's a ALC Lutheran church. And will say, my brother-in-law is a fireman in Chicago. He was injured in a fire this last week, and I would like prayers for him. And the pastor says, who will pray for him this week? And people raise their hands. And so it's a personal commitment for those people to pray. And then somebody else will talk about some other people or causes or things that they want to have prayers for. And it's always, who will pray for that this week? And then when there's time for Thanksgiving, which is another part of the liturgy, the people have an opportunity to come forward and celebrate the answers to prayers. I know this one time when we were there, it's usually not this dramatic, but one time when we were there, one fellow whose wife had given birth to a daughter the Sunday before, and he had the slide. He came up with a little projector and showed them on the wall. It was the sense of all being thankful together. I mean, of course, they all had knew the mother, and then here was the picture of the new baby, and it was real excitement, the sense of a real family. It's a very close congregation, but the sense of, and we were all able to give thanks for that, for that baby that day. If you write down those things that you've been praying for, talked the other day about, you don't have to write them down, but to review them. What did I pray about yesterday? And if you can't remember, that may be one way God's answered your prayer that really wasn't that important to you. Or maybe you don't want it as intensely as you did the day before, and that is also a way of prayer being responded to. Or maybe that's still what you want, and then pray for it again, believing that it is in the process of being answered that you are receiving.